Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, my guest is going to be Frank Anthony Polito. I love that name. Frank Anthony Polito. And he wrote a book called Renovated to Death. It's a funny book. For someone who's gone through so many renovations in my life, I really enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to talking to Frank at the bottom of the hour. But right now I get to turn to an author. Well, I am always so happy to talk to anyone about England. And so I'm happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Catherine Lloyd, and the name of her book is Miss Morton and the English House Party Murder. Hi, Catherine. Catherine, where are you? Oh, whoa. This is insane. I'm going to go crazy with these people. Catherine is not on the phone. See? Look what a wonderful opening I gave her. And she's not on the phone. I don't know why. Because I have sent... Oh, and Big Ed, don't get nervous, Big Ed. I've gotten past this. This is ridiculous. Sometimes I just, you know, what am I going to do? I need to speak to Catherine because I wanted to talk about this book. She is a Kensington author, and I have no idea why she's not on the phone. But what the heck? What am I going to do? I will talk about England, I guess, for the next half hour until I can get to Frank, which is funny because I don't know. You know, this happens. And, you know, of all the days that this would happen, it would happen today. Now, I don't have a backup number for her. There's been some changes and things over there happening with, I know one of the booking people there had a baby. And so things have been a little bit hectic and chaotic. And I am hoping that perhaps they are listening in because, my goodness, it's already been on Facebook this morning. And I've been talking to everyone about how much I enjoy this book by Catherine Lloyd. And I will say I also like it because her name is spelled with a C. When I was in England, I remember all of my friends who were named Catherine, they'd always say, it's with a C, which is the proper way. And I said, oh, well, I don't know, Catherine Hepburn spelled it with a K. But they'd say, well, she's not British, is she? So I said, no. And of course, Kathy Ace, who is one of my favorite authors of Cozy Mysteries, she spells her name with a C. So that's a very British way to do it. I don't know why this person did not show up today, because it's a great book. It's called, as I said, Miss Morton and the English House Party Murder. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to her, this author, Catherine Lloyd, wrote another series, which I have been reading ever since it came out, and it started before I had the program, so that's why I've never had her on before, and that's called Curlin St. Mary Mystery series, and I really like that. As all of you know who have listened to the program, I lived in a proper English village, just a wonderful, delightful place. It's what they call a protected village. There is no new construction in that village, has not been any new construction for, decades and decades, and they don't allow it, which is so nice. So it is really one of those protected villages. It's a kind of village that they can shoot Agatha Christie movies in without having to build a set. So I was really hoping to talk to her about that, because that series follows someone who just finished rehab after Waterloo. And as I am as sort of a mini expert on Waterloo, I have perhaps over 200 books now about Napoleon and Waterloo specifically. As a matter of fact, on what date is it? I'm going to be having an entire day just talking about Napoleon and Waterloo, and that's coming up in June. So I will have that. But meanwhile, I think what we'll do, Big Ed, just so we all don't get all nervous here, let's play Bria Burton has done a book buzz, and I love Bria Burton, and this is so remarkable. When, you know, she used to come in here before the pandemic, she'd come in when she'd have a new release, and I always just loved her voice. There was something I thought really magical about her voice, and then I listened to her some of her recordings on her website, and Bria Burton has this absolutely magical voice. And so I was so happy that she's joined us here at Joy on Paper, and we're going to play one of her book buzzes. And I think it's, again, a remarkable, remarkable book buzz.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes an L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Future semifinalist, released in 2021. Awakened by T.E. Bradford, available in print and ebook. Now, let's download the book buzz. In a bleak world where manufactured anodic commandos, or Macs, mercilessly hunt and kill humans, a wounded resistance fighter named Kara comes face to face with one of these machines. If her injury doesn't kill her, this Terminator will. But the Mac has a wound of his own and has short-circuited. Stuck on the wrong side of the wall, distant drones approach, sealing her death sentence. A wild idea convinces her to try and rewire the Mac. Maybe she's wrong, but she's dead either way. The gamble pays off, and he's activated again, carrying her out of danger to a safe location. But the rewiring did more than just a factory reset. He's behaving strangely, offering sympathy, doctoring her wound, and explaining things that shouldn't be possible about the war being fought over her now desolate homeland. Her hatred for these machines wavers in light of the unbelievable change. The journey back to her base through enemy territory won't be possible without him. With each passing hour, the test of whether he'll remain a friend or revert back to foe creates a delicate dance between human and machine. This high-tension, compact novella offers emotional punches right alongside the action, all while infusing themes of truth and spiritual meaning all the way to its climactic ending. Author T.E. Bradford is a writer, singer, songwriter, and cancer survivor. In her heart, she feels that her gift of writing is a little piece of magic, and that it is both her privilege and grandest adventure to find new ways to stretch a hand out to touch the wonder of this vast universe God created. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Oh, I just love her voice. It is fantastic. And I want to, again, thank her and thank everybody who has sent me in messages complimenting her, because it is, you know, really heartwarming to me when I hear from you. And, of course, one of the things that I've been hearing a lot from you are about, you know, I think what I've been doing here at Joy on Paper, bringing you all sort of a variety of books. I am so thrilled when you say, yes, I had never thought about reading that book or reading a book like that until I heard the author. Because sometimes that's what you need. You need to have this connection with an author. You hear the excitement in their voice when they're talking about their book. You can understand what they've put into the book, because sometimes it is years and years of work, a hard work, research. And it is so exciting when they get on the program. And that's why I don't, generally speaking, I don't ask standard questions. So often these writers, when they do get the opportunity to go on a radio program, and rarely a TV program, almost never, they get asked the same questions like, when did you start writing? And, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not what I want to do. I want you to try to make this connection with the writer. Understand that they've gone through a lot to get you that book. You know, sometimes for some of the authors who have been on the program, they've been working for 5 years on one book. But then, you know, it comes out and they have this wonderful, exciting day. And today should have been a wonderful and I hope it's a wonderful and exciting day for Catherine Lloyd, because today is the release of her new book, Miss Morton and the English House Party. Isn't that a lovely name? I mean, right away when I saw that name, I wanted to read it. And I wanted to talk to her. I don't know where she is. I'm sure that I will hear about it. But, you know, it reminds me of something, writing elements. One of the things I was going to ask her about when I talked to her was about writing elements. What elements does she, you know, when you're writing, there are so many things that you have to do, so many things you have to think of. Of course, the basic idea always I'm telling all of you is just start writing. Just boom, start writing. But it's nice when you know about some of the writing elements and what you're doing. So that's why we also have here on Joy on Paper, Jim Lamb, who has been doing these wonderful little literary gems that tell us about parts of writing that perhaps you don't understand why something works or why or what something is even called. I know that someone came up to me one day and said, "What is a metaphor?" Well, I said, "You know, you have to listen to Joy on Paper, and Jim Lamb will tell you." And now he's going to tell us about something really important, inciting incident. And this is an inciting incident, I think, if the writer doesn't show up and well, anyway, I'm not even going to think about a cozy mystery murder at this point. But let's listen to Jim Lamb and inciting incidents.
It's a beautiful morning. The sun is out. Birds are chirping. Husbands hug wives. Moms kiss their kids. The perfect day. Then bam! Flight 11 hits the World Trade Center. The first domino has fallen. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. Let's say you've written a story, but something is missing. What is it? It could be the inciting incident, that first domino. In Hamlet, a king is killed, starting a chain reaction that leaves Denmark in ruins and a bunch of people dead. Romeo and Juliet even ends worse. Ah, that Shakespeare guy. What a writer. But it's not just the bard who knew how to ruin somebody's day. In Die Hard, John McClane wants to reconcile with his wife. If Hans Gruber picks another building, John and Holly might reunite without incident. End of story. How about Star Wars? If Darth Vader doesn't stop Leia's space cruiser, she delivers the Death Star plans without incident. End of story. More examples? Bruce Wayne's parents don't get shot. No Batman. Bruce the shark goes to Brazil. No Jaws. Lucy, Edmund, Susan, and Peter never visit Narnia. No lion, no witch, no wardrobe. But wait, there's more. What if Harry Potter never learns he's a wizard? The tornado doesn't take Dorothy to Oz. Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth never meet. No pride, no prejudice, no nothing. So writers, do yourself a favor. Ruin somebody's day. Start a chain reaction by knocking down that first domino and let the others fall where they may. Kerplunk, kerplunk, kerplunk. I'm Jim Lamb, and you just learned a little something-something about inciting incidents.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim Lamb. And Jim Lamb is going to be coming out with a book of poetry. It's called Dark Fruit, and we're just waiting for the final click, and it's going to be online, and he will be on the program to talk about it, and we will read some of his poetry. And I'm very, very excited for him because it's always wonderful. I love poetry, and I've been telling all of you for years that if you want to become a better writer, one of the ways to become a better writer is to read poetry. And so I'm really thrilled that Jim is going to be coming out with this wonderful book called Dark Fruit, and we will be talking about that soon. Now, I also want to say something really, you know, as I've been doing this program and I was doing these book buzzes, which I just love because one of the reasons we do the book buzzes is that authors have so little time once a book comes out in which to promote their book. It comes out, They have this exciting day, which should have been an exciting day, I hope, for Catherine Lloyd, who didn't show up here. But so I hope she's excited somewhere. But that's about it. You have your day and perhaps a few weeks of run that you do interviews and you do events on. Nowadays, of course, so much is done on the computer. But it's really not quite the same as in the old days where you used to do book tours or book events, go to conventions. And even now I hear that this summer, although some of the conventions have opened up, the attendance, it's just people are not attending them in any great number. I know I was thinking about doing some of these conventions. I really miss it. I think it's so wonderful. One of the greatest things I ever did was when we had the BoucherCon convention, and that happened to be right here in the Vinoy Hotel. And it was just fantastic. It was wonderful. We had, I think, over 3,000, almost 4,000 people here at the Vinoy Hotel. And I got to meet not just all the best-selling authors. Of course, Lee Child was there, and Tasha Alexander, Andrew Grant, Ian Rankin. I mean, everyone was there, and it was just wonderful to meet them and to talk to them. But I so admired the fans. I was so impressed. I had never seen anything quite like it, where there were thousands of fans standing in line, sometimes for a very long time, to get into one of the programs, and particularly like the tea party and the luncheons, and just standing in line so patiently waiting to see their favorite authors. So I really would love to go back and do those. But again, nowadays, again, with this entire flying thing, it's difficult. So I don't think I'm going to do anything this summer, as much as I would like to do, and just to be out there with writers and with the readers, because I want to do more to encourage reading. And during the summer, starting in mid-June, I'm going to be having some more people in to the studio. This time I'm bringing in some readers to talk about the books that they've read and why they read them and why the books are important to them. But it is a problem. So that's why we do these book buzzes. We do them, you know, as often as I can, whenever I have a free opening, like today, because of author not showing up. I'm going to play a book buzz, and this is a very special one. This is for Carol J. Perry's newest book. I love this book. One, of course, it's book 12, which is, I like that nice round dozen, although she's going to have a baker's dozen soon, because knowing Carol, she is the epitome of a dedicated author. She gets up in the morning, no matter what, she takes it seriously, and she starts writing, because she knows that if you don't produce, you can talk all you want about being a writer, but if you don't produce, if you're not willing to get up there and work and get it done, you're not going to get anywhere. And in 7 years since the first time Carol was on the program, and she was my very first in-studio guest, she has written 12 books. And now she's gotten a new contract, and she's busy working on book 13. So we had the wedding in book 12. It's a wonderful, wonderful. This is a particularly personal book for Lee Barrett, her main character, because it involves a mystery and the story about why her parents died. So it's sort of all combined, a wedding, a wonderful wedding, and a look back for Lee Barrett. And then, of course, a look to the future, because as my sister says, Lee Barrett needs to have some babies. And so we're planning on that. But we'll go ahead and play the book buzz for Carol J. Perry's most recent book.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with today's book buzz. If you are looking for a mystery that you won't be able to put down, then I have just the book for you. Be My Ghost, A Haunted Haven Mystery Book 1. Cozy mystery fans, you'll be thrilled with Carol J. Perry's Be My Ghost Book 1 in her new Haunted Haven mystery series set in Florida. Maureen Daugherty is a smart, forthright protagonist of this exceptional paranormal cozy. As Publishers Weekly notes in their starred review, Maureen is a breath of fresh air in the cozy world. No ruminating on her looks or past tragic loves, no drowning her sorrows in cookies and cake. It all starts on a cold and rainy day in Boston when Maureen's career as a sportswear buyer hits a snag just before Halloween, when the department store declares bankruptcy. The former buyer of the year needs to start job searching, and fast. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance. An inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from highways and theme parks. The letter from the lawyer doesn't explain why someone named Penelope Josephine Gray would leave her a century-old Haven House Inn. Should she pick up and head south? Why not? Finn, her golden retriever who flunked guide dog classes because he's too friendly, would probably like to get some fun in the summer. Better than walking the cold and wet streets of Boston in October. Maureen hopes it will be a fresh start. She doesn't know what to expect, but what the heck? It's an adventure. So she packs up her car and with Finn, riding shotgun, and a box of Cane's Donuts between them, she heads south. From the way Finn's wagging his tail, it looks like he approves of the move. The lawyer didn't tell her much, just that over the years, many famous people vacationed in Florida, and many of them stayed at Haven Inn. When she pulls up to the old place, she is enchanted by the rocking chairs on the front porch. But within hours, before she can even unpack her bags, Maureen discovers a prominent ghost hunter's lifeless body on the inn's front porch. What was he doing there? Not the welcome she expected. Worse, soon the police have their eyes on her as a suspect. She has no friends in Florida to help her, but some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. The ghosts, in a refreshing departure from most paranormal cozies, don't take center stage in entertaining subplots such as her efforts to discover why Miss Gray left her the inn, keep the pages turning in this fast-paced cozy. The Haunted Haven series will beguile and bewitch readers, and have them eagerly looking forward to further adventures with Maureen and, of course, her pal Finn. Look forward to more fun and mystery in glorious Haven, Florida.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I don't have my next guest. I didn't have my first guest. This is going to be a fun day. It's one of those days. It's a day after a holiday, and perhaps I don't know what's going on. I am waiting for a call in from another author, and I am hoping he's going to call in because he was supposed to call in. But if he doesn't call in, what the heck? Big Ed, you and I can have a conversation, right? You ready, Big Ed? You can tell me what's happening in the world of sports.
Wasn't a whole lot on the holiday, to tell you the truth.
Now, did you watch the race, the Monte Carlo race, the Grand Prix?
No, I'm not into racing, really.
No? You don't like Grand Prix racing? That's the only one I watch because I like to see the... I like to see a little bit of the area there because I've been there, so... But that's the only thing I watched. And you're right. When there's no Premier League soccer on... I don't really bother because, well, you know, of course, if there's a Tigers game, I probably would look. But if I feel like suffering, but anyway, we will hope Big Ed today. I don't know. I can always play music if I just run out of time because I don't, you know, you. Book these things so far in advance, months in advance. I've had this book, the Miss Morton and the English House Party Murder. I've had that book for 6 months sitting there, and I've been looking at the cover because I always love to look at Kensington covers. They're always so great. And so I've been looking at it. I've been waiting to talk to her because, as I said, I love books set in England. My favorite series really is Tasha Alexander's The Lady Emily series. Now, that's a Victorian mystery, and I love that period in England. But I do enjoy also the Regency period. I enjoy anything to do with anything that mentions Napoleon and Waterloo and Wellington. So, you know, I'm a rather eclectic reader. I will read everything and anything. It's very funny. I noticed in the newspaper this weekend, they had a story about people who are decorating their houses with books. And they're just buying random books. They don't care what the heck it is. They're buying random books and putting them all over their house because they want to look smart. Let me just suggest to you people, read the books. I mean, really... Really, it would be nice if you would read the books. What is the idea? You know, as if the world isn't crazy enough. Now, interior decorators, they are hiring interior decorators to line their walls with books so that they will look smart. It just boggles my mind. My walls are lined with books. It's not that I'm smart, but I actually read them because... I feel, you know, for me, a book is like a child. It's like a baby. I would be abandoning the poor thing if I did not actually pick it up and take care of it and read it. And so that's why when I say I have 3,000 books lining my walls, I have 3,000 books that I've read. And now I get to actually talk to an author. Wow, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Frank Anthony Polito, and the name of his book is Renovated to Death, and it is A Domestic Partners in Crime Mystery. Hi, Frank.
Morning. Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Oh, wow. I am so happy that you are on the program today, a Kensington author, with one of the wonderful, beautiful Kensington covers. I just love the way they take care of their authors.
Yeah, they're great. I've been with them for a long time now, and they're all a wonderful group of people, especially the support they've given me on this book, on this new book, because it's my first cozy mystery. I've published some other books in different genres, but this is my first cozy mystery. And Kensington is really big on cozy mysteries, and they've just been great help with this one.
Well, they are, and they capture the right feeling. They make you want to pick up the book. It's funny. I get like 10 to 20 books a week, and I always can tell the Kensington books from all the other books. You know, I have them sort of lined up. I have this long table. I line them up because I read all the books that I talk about. So I always have to, you know, just the ones that catch my eye are the ones that I read first. And I love this cover. It's really clever. It reminds me when we're talking about renovation, and this is so much fun. You actually know a great deal about renovation, and I think it's so clever that you decided to write a mystery about it, because tell us a little bit about your own renovation.
Well, my partner Craig and I, we lived in New York City for many years, same as the characters in the book, and I'm excited to talk to you, actually, as a fellow Michigander. We moved back to Michigan, where we're both from, in 2013, and we bought this beautiful 1924 Craftsman Colonial house. And I won't say it's a fixer-upper, but it needed some fixing up. So we've been almost 10 years, well, 9 years now, slowly working on it. And I remember we did an episode of House Hunters, which is actually how we found the house. And I remember saying, oh, I'll be happy to, you know, work on one project every so often here and there and not be in a rush. And now 9 years later, I just want it to be done.
Well, I sort of laugh about it because I've done this a number of times. My first major one was when I was 21 years old. I moved to England and I bought a 400-year-old cottage.
Oh, geez.
And that was a fixer-upper, because when I got it, now, remember, it's 400 years old. The main beam was from a ship that had been wrecked off the coast. And when I walked in, the ceilings were covered with acoustic tiles. The walls were covered with sort of a metallic wallpaper. And they had covered up all four of the fireplaces. They had plastered them over.
And it makes you say, like, who would do this and why?
Exactly. I was told it was like 1960s crazy people.
Well, we lucked out because we're actually only the third owners of our house in almost 100 years. So what really drew us to it, and what I love, is that we have this natural woodwork in all of the rooms. Except one. For some reason, the guest bedroom, someone at some point decided to paint over the woodwork. And I learned the hard way last, maybe two winters ago, that they used lead paint. So I really want to get that paint off, but now I'm, you know.
Oh, boy.
How to go about doing that. So right now we have all the rooms with this nice natural brown.
Oh, I know it. I would buy a 1924 Craftsman Colonial in a minute. I love them. So it's wonderful that it inspired you to write this. Really, I think it's going to be a very funny series, a great series, the type of thing that will appeal to so many people because, well, we all do like this renovation thing. You know, some people like the hands-on experience, and a lot of people just like to watch it. I'm like the hands-on person, and my sister will watch it on television, but you couldn't get her to lift a paintbrush.
Well, I love the hands-on because I even say this in the book. It's like, it sounds so corny, but you really get to know your house.
Oh, yeah.
Every wood board that I refinish is different, and I can see like the wood grain and the different patterns, and I think about like when it was first built almost 100 years ago and how it stood this test of time and the craftsmanship that went into it. And you can see like certain boards and certain on every window in a certain position look like they were cut from the same tree because they have a sort of a similar marking. And I just think about as I'm going through like the history and the families that lived in this house before us and the families that will live here
after,
I hope, will not get out the paintbrush.
Yeah. Well, of course, and they were real craftsmen. And so it is wonderful that you're doing this and that you're doing it in Detroit, because for me, that's also fun. That's a fun aspect of it. I grew up in Highland Park.
Okay. I heard you say before you were a Youper.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Youper.
No, you also grew up in Highland Park.
Yeah, what happened is when I was in third grade, we had to, economics in those days, it was difficult making money up north. And so we came to the city. And so I was in third grade. Of course, we kept our house up north because that was always home. But we had a series of apartments we lived in over the years. But I was basically Highland Park, Glendale Avenue, just off of Woodward Avenue. In a wonderful, it was so beautiful in those days. It was so beautiful. The streets were lined with these fantastic elm trees. And when I tell people how beautiful Detroit was, they don't believe me, but it was gorgeous.
Yeah, and I know they have a historic district, and it's very similar to where we live a few miles north. Our whole town, which is only 1.5 miles wide or long, 2,500 residents. The entire city is a historic district. So we have all of these beautiful historic homes that have most of them been maintained and not, altered or renovated to death.
Well, I'm happy. I'm glad that, somebody's writing about that area. I think that, for people who come from Michigan, there's something, I still follow the Tigers. I can't help it.
In a couple, tomorrow night actually, we're going to a game because that's what we do here.
Well, I will think of you because that's for me. That was my childhood. Was really going to Tigers games because my dad was a Teamster, and so he used to get these wonderful seats right behind first base, which was my favorite location. I love it because they don't steal bases as much as they used to. In the old days, they used to really go out there and try to steal bases, and I love that.
Yeah, well, nothing is like it to be on board.
No, it's not. But, okay, so now you got this idea for doing this cozy mystery. As you said, you've written other books. Coming to a cozy is quite different from other types of writing.
It is, and I can't take all the credit. I hadn't published a book in about 10 years, and when I moved back to Michigan, I kind of told myself I was going to sort of give up that artistic dream, settle down, have a real life, have a real job and all that, and I tried it for a while and wasn't very good at it, and my editor at Kensington reached out to me right at the start of the pandemic in 2020, and said, we're looking for someone to write a cozy mystery with gay characters, and we think you would be really good at it, and why don't you take the story of you and your partner moving back to Michigan and renovating a house and turn it into a cozy mystery. And it was actually perfect, because down the street from where we live, there's this empty house that's been sitting abandoned for like 25 or 30 years. The owner died. And the owners, the couple who lived there, they died. And their daughter, who also lives in our town, she owns the house, but she doesn't live in it. She lives on the other side of town, but she refuses to let the house go. So it just sits there empty. And every so often, someone will come and cut the grass, or they'll shovel the snow, or, it's taken care of, but it's essentially abandoned. And so I got this idea of what would happen if all of a sudden the owners of this abandoned house decided to have it renovated and sell it. And, you know, I just ran with it.
Well, you ran with it, and you ran with it in a great fashion. And it is called A Domestic Partners in Crime Mystery, Book One. And I'm sure there are going to be many more because it is very clever. And it you have to really admire Kensington so much. They are really in tune with their readers. And they are really out there, really, they are a fantastic group of people.
Yes, and they publish so many books. My editor, John Sonia Emilio, edits something like 50 books at a time. And you would think he can't possibly read them all. But when he gives me the notes, I know that he's read every page. He knows the story as well as I do. He knows how to make it better. He knows what's not working, what is working. And but he also, you know, gives me the freedom to write what I want, which ultimately, you know, my name is on the book, he says. And that's really great as a writer, because I've heard other writers at other places who are told literally like line by line, they will get notes and have to change things and change character names. And, you know, no artistic person wants to be that micromanaged.
Oh, say his name again, because I love his name.
John Scognamiglio.
Isn't that wonderful? I just love it.
And I think that's part of the reason we hit it off, because being Frank Anthony Polito and John Scognamiglio, and we're both gay men of a certain age who love Days of Our Lives, the soap opera, which was featured very prominently in the first book that I wrote. And it's just been a wonderful experience, and I'm so excited. The book is actually on sale today. You are my first interview since my book has gone on sale, and I've just been waiting for 2 years for this day, so I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited too for you, because it is always, first of all, I always love to talk to authors on their pub day. One, because it's a special day in your life, but especially when it's your first pub day for a new series, because it's sort of historical, and I think this is one of these series that, I mean, we're going to be talking to you many, many times over the next as many years as I can survive here, because you will come out with a book a year, I'm sure. And that's part of the fun of, well, working for Kensington, because they are encouraging, and they, as you said, they really urge you along. And it is really, you know, for an author, you know, there are authors out there who just would do anything to find somebody who would pay attention to them and to read their, even just read a query letter, and then to be actually asked to do a series, that makes you really special.
I'm very grateful. I mean, I tell this to people, like, I feel a little bit like a fraud, because I was an actor for many years. I wanted to be an actor. I never really wanted to be a writer, even though as a child I would write stories, and I used to write what I would call novels, you know, 100-page stories, and I would type them up on an old manual typewriter on a half sheet of paper, front side and back, and then I would glue those pieces of paper together and make a cover. But I never thought being an author was like a job that someone could actually have. So I wanted to be an actor, because, you know, that's so much easier to become an actor than to become a writer. Kidding. But I wrote a play. Over 20 years ago, I wrote a play based on me and my best friend growing up in the Detroit suburbs in the 80s. We're both gay, and at the time it was very different. You couldn't be out and open the way the kids today can be. And I was telling my editor, John Scognamiglio, about the book, about the play, and he said, "That sounds really fun. Can I read the play?" And he read the play, and he said, "I think this would make a great book." So he gave me an opportunity to write a book. And so that's why I feel a little bit like a fraud, because I know there are writers who Right, and query and do all that stuff.
And
they never.
Well, no, it's well deserved because obviously he saw talent in you, in your writing and your characters. Let's talk a little bit about Peter and JP because they are renovating a Tudor revival, which is funny. And I love that they found linoleum floors and pink tiled bathroom. It reminds me of my acoustic tiles covering the beams in my beautiful, beautiful 400-year-old cottage.
Yeah, well, Peter is a best-selling writer of young adult mystery novels. He goes by the name PJ on his book because initials apparently sell better for mystery authors. His partner, JP, is an actor, and they met in New York when a play that Peter wrote was being produced and JP was acting in it. And now they've decided to move back to Michigan because they want to have a house and they want to have a dog and a yard and they want to be near the parents who are getting older. And one of JP's good friends happens to be a television producer. And when she hears that they're going to buy this house and fix it up, she thinks that it would make a great television show. And she pitches the idea to this network she works for called Home Design Television, HDTV. And they get a show and they go to Detroit and they buy this house and they fix it up. And the show is a big success. And so for season two, they find this Tudor revival down the block that's been sitting empty, and they get to fixing it up. But before they can even lift a hammer and the cameras can start to roll, one of the owners, they find him lying dead at the bottom of the staircase. And, of course, the local police think it's an accident because a murder, no one has ever been killed in the quaint little town of Pleasant Woods. But the boys know there's something more
sinister
going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sinister. And they decide to, you know, become amateur detectives. JP played a cop on television, and PJ writes books, mystery books. So they figure they have the skills.
Oh, they're qualified.
Right. And they've watched a lot of Murder, She Wrote maybe Fletcher. So.
Well, that's it. They're definitely highly qualified. And I have a feeling that there's a lot of sinister stuff going on in Pleasant Woods. And over the next few years, we're going to have a lot of murders there.
Yeah. And that's just fun because the cozy mystery is fun because it's not serious, but it's not serious. It's meant to be fun and it's meant to be silly and quaint and quirky and
you learn stuff along the way. I like just little ideas that come along, and this is really why I think cozy mysteries are so much fun, that for a little while they take you away and they give you ideas and you meet interesting characters and all of your characters are interesting. And I love it. I love it. Well, I was an actor and I played a cop, so now I can solve all the world. I think it's wonderful. I think you've done a great job. And I am so happy that, you were on Joy on Paper today, because I think this is the start of a long relationship.
Oh, I hope so. I actually have book two. I'm finishing it now. It'll be out in exactly 1 year. So perhaps 1 year from today,
Well, that's generally what happens. Actually, at some point, they might even speed you up, because when I started this program 7 years ago, Carol J. Perry was my first in-studio guest. She's Kensington author. And the reason I invited her to come on the program was the cover of her book was so wonderful. I just took one look at it, and I was at a meeting, a writer's meeting. She showed me the cover. I invited her on the program because of the cover. I hadn't read the book yet. But I said, if they've done a cover like this, this company obviously loves this author. And that's for her Witch City Mystery. So she came on 7 years ago with her first book. And a few weeks ago, she was on with book number 12. So in 7 years, she's done 12 books in her Witch City Mysteries. And now I know that next year, same time, same place, we're going to have Frank Anthony Polito back, and we're going to have book two in A Domestic Partners in Crime Mystery. Right?
I'm looking forward to it, yes.
Okay, well, I'm so happy that you were on the program today. Just tell people your website, Facebook, wherever they find you kind of stuff.
My website is frankanthonypolito.com, all three long names. My Facebook is at Frank Anthony Polito. I have Instagram, which is also at Frank Anthony Polito, and my Twitter is at F.A. Polito.
Okay, and they can find you, and people, you can also go to Kensington Publishing. They have a wonderful, wonderful website, and I'm sure that this is also available. It will also be available, I'm sure, in selected bookstores, because it's a beautiful cover. It's a beautiful, it's going to show up great if they put you up there. I can see people walking right now through Barnes & Noble, and they see this cover of Renovated to Death, and they will want to read it.
I hope so.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much, Frank Anthony Polito,
thank
for being
you.
On Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk
My
to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. Alrighty. Oh, that was nice. Oh, I love it. I love... My mind tells me never to do it again, but secretly... If I had a chance to do a little renovation project, I would do it. I get such a kick out of it. And I did have so much fun when I renovated the cottage in England. It was, well, of course, in those days, too, things were different. Actually, I had a builder. So he did most of the hard work, although... At some point when it came to the plastering, and I wanted the plastering to be done the way it was 400 years earlier, I had to learn how to do it because nobody else could do it. And I had to have a master actually come and teach me how to do the plastering the way it was done 400 years ago. And that was a lot of work, I can tell you. I was a mess for weeks. My hair, I practically had to cut my hair off because everything got in my hair. But it was lots of fun. Okay, well, it turned out to be a pretty good day, right? Okay, I lost one author somewhere. She's out there in cyberspace or whatever. Happens to authors who are not on the program when they're supposed to be. But I do want to just remind everybody that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So get out there. It's a beautiful day. Go under a tree, take some paper and pen, and start writing. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. See, he didn't get all nervous. I didn't get all nervous when a guest doesn't show up. And he saluted me, so now I can salute him, because I really should have been a general. I would have made such a great general. Oh, my goodness, and I would have loved to have that pension. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. Bye.